Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the Three Inning Save podcast. We are a part of the Fans First Sports Network. I'm your host, Eric Steven. With me, as always, is my co-host, Jacob Birch. Jacob, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
That's good. I'm doing great because Brian Salvatore is our producer, and he does a great job. Makes us sound... Just kidding. He makes us sound really good. I did a little mime there. Just wonderful for
which
audio.
Which just makes for great radio, yeah.
Yeah, but we have fun. We also have fun doing a Dodgers Rewind, which is what we're bringing you today. Today we're going to look back at Pete Rickert. I will say I looked up some things on him. I just wanted to make sure, because it's R-I-C-H-E-R-T, that it's not Richard, you know? But enough things I saw had it as Rickert, so I'm sticking with that. If it's not that, I apologize, but that's what it is. He was a left-handed pitcher who had two tours of duty with the Dodgers, and he intersects with quite a few previous Dodgers rewinds. And we'll get to it later, but we're almost close to completing one whole transaction by doing rewinds on every single person in the trade. linked to a lot of players. I'm also recapping at True Blue LA the 1963 season, like week by week. He was a second-year player on that team. That team won the World Series. He was like a swingman, occasional starter type. But yeah, really good, heavy fastball. But before I get into some details on Pete Rickert, I have a trivia question for you.
Alrighty.
Jake, are you ready? Okay.
I am. I've actually been thinking about this trivia question for like the last hour.
Pete Rickert had a memorable Major League debut April 12th, 1962. He was pitching in relief against the Reds. It was just the third ever game at Dodger Stadium, same series that it opened. He struck out 7 in his 3 1/3 scoreless hitless innings. Since then, only 8 Dodgers relievers have at least 7 strikeouts in one game. How many can you name?
I'm ready. I'm ready to get at least one.
I tried to be open-ended with this because rather than the, you know, pick the fourth one or, you know, so I know you're get that specific, but like, yeah, this is, I think you'll enjoy this. At least the names on it are pretty good. So,
okay. All right.
But we have plenty of time to get to that. First off, the Dodgers signed Rickert out of high school in New York. This was before the 1958 season. I'm unsure of the actual timing of the signing, but in the 1973 Dodgers media guide, which I bought a few years back on eBay, there was like someone was selling like a handful of like old Dodgers media guides, and it was like less than $10 for all of them. So I was like, yes, I will do that. It's a thin media guide. They don't even print the media guides anymore, by the way. It's all electronic, which is probably the right thing to do, but like I enjoyed having the physical media there. But in the 73 media guide, it says Rickert, quote, was the final player signed by the Brooklyn Dodgers. So okay, like that's something. So he did pretty well as a teenager in his first 2 years in the minors. He was in Reno and then Green Bay. And then he broke out as a 20-year-old in 1960 with the Atlanta Crackers, one of the great baseball team names. He's 19-9 that year with a 2.76 ERA. He broke the Southern League record with 251 strikeouts. Again, heavy fastball. To the point where I found an old article in the Atlanta Journal in July 1960 that described Rickert like so, quote, Pete's Miracle Whip fastball was flying in the first two innings, but in all directions. That gives you an idea of, like, you know, with his heavy fastball, there was times where he didn't know where it was going, right? So he walked 115 that year. He did tend to walk a lot, but he also struck out a ton. Now, he battled injuries in 1961 when he was with Spokane. He missed the first 6 weeks of the year, but the next spring he made the Dodgers in spring training. Started off the year pitching in relief. His major league debut, again, came in that third game of the season. So Stan Williams was the starter. He allowed four runs in the second inning, and then he was pulled with the bases loaded and two outs. So in comes Rickert. He struck out Beta Pinson, who was a really good hitter throughout his career. He was young then, too. He escaped the bases loaded threat. Then the next inning, he struck out Frank Robinson, Hall of Famer. And then he struck out Gordy Coleman, except the ball got by catcher John Roseboro, so Coleman reached base. But that's not a problem because Rickert also struck out Wally Post and Johnny Edwards to end the inning. So, and then to start the fourth inning, he struck out Tommy Harper. So his first six major league batters faced, he struck them all out. So he pitched the fifth inning too and added another strikeout. So Dan Hafner in the LA Times wrote, quote, this is a great, this was the lead to his article. Quote, young Pete Rickert walked in from the Dodger bullpen with a prayer on his lips, and when he started throwing his fastball, the Cincinnati Reds didn't have one. That's as good of an opening line to a game report that you can ever get. It was great. So in that game, he tied three major league records. He was just the ninth pitcher ever at this point to strike out four in an inning. It seems it happens not a ton, but like there's still like not that many people who have done it, but just he was only the ninth guy ever to do it. That's wild. He was also the second pitcher to strike out six in a row in his first major league game. The other person who did it was also a Dodger, Carl Spooner for Brooklyn on September 22nd, 1954. I was trying to think. I forgot to look this up. I don't think we've done a rewind on Carl Spooner. We probably should at some point. He's a great tale in his own right. Two shutouts in his first two major league games. It was the end of the 1954 season. Struck out 15 in the first game, 12 in the second game. So he's at 27 strikeouts with a 0 ERA through two games, two shutouts. But then he got hurt, and he only pitched a little bit in 55, and then he never pitched in the majors again. Sam Miller at the Pebble Hunting newsletter has a great, great piece on Spooner that I will link to in the show notes. I forgot to mention this, speaking of other Dodgers rewinds, but on our weekly episode of the three-inning save earlier this week, we talked about what a hot streak Mookie Betts was on. By the time you listen to this, he could very well still be on it. It's very likely. But I was looking up, like, trying to... Because the last week, he had 16 hits in 26 at-bats. He hit over 600. And I was trying to look up, like, really crazy, like, six-game stints. And I found someone, Jimmy Johnston. We might have actually done, or I have to look. I should have looked this up before this, but I just putting a pin in this. He had a stretch where he had 24 hits and 29 at-bats in 1923. That has to be, like, the absolute blazing hottest anyone has ever been. And there was, like, a lot of extra base hits in there, too. Even if we've done Jimmy Johnson, I think we should probably do at some point a rewind on just those five. It was five games plus a single, like, to start the next game. So, one of the great hot streaks. But anyway, he didn't have to bat against Pete Rickard. So, that's probably why it was so easy for him. So, Rickard in this major league debut, he was also just the second relief pitcher ever to strike out six in a row in one game, joining Phillies veteran right-hander Jack Meyer in September 1958. So that's sort of our intro to Pete Rickard. We'll talk a little bit more about him after the break. But first, I have a message to you from Fans First Sports Network. Attention sports fans, are you a fan of an NFL team? Would you love to attend your favorite team's week one game? Well, you're in luck. Fans First Sports Network, is giving away four free tickets to the week one NFL game of your choice, up to $5,000. The rules to enter are simple. Go to contest.fansfirstsports.com and fill out the appropriate information. That's it. Once you've done that, you'll be officially registered to win four free tickets to any week one NFL game. What are you waiting for? Go enter for your shot at seeing your favorite team in action. This contest ends September 4th. We'll have a little bit more after the break.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, now we're back to Pete Rickard. He was stuck in relief for the first few months in 1962 and actually was sent down to Omaha at one point during the season. He was only 22, but he reached a bit of a career crossroads. This was an amazing sort of quote from Rickard. This is from his Sabre bio. It's Adam Olry wrote the Sabre bio, and he was quoting the Sporting News, which had an interview with Rickard. This is what he said. My arm snapped. I threw a pitch, and the arm felt like it was broken. I was afraid to throw after that. I babied the arm. One day, manager Danny Ozark handed me the ball. Pete, he said, this is it. If you're going to pitch big league ball, let's find out right now. Throw as hard as you can. If the arm snaps, goodbye. If it doesn't, you're free of this fear. Now throw as hard as you can. I guess it was like a drowning man reviewing his life. I was 22 years old. All my life, I wanted to be a major league pitcher. My dad did too. It was his dream, his great ambition for me. He died before I made it to the big leagues. It was his faith that got me started in the first place. All this went through my mind. I told Danny I was ready. I fired as hard as I could. Nothing happened. I felt great. I risked my baseball life on that one pitch, and I won. That is very dramatic. Like, I would not have thought that, but like he still ended up pitching a lot, so like maybe that worked.
Yeah.
So he's called up later that season in August, and he actually started 12 games, not pitching in relief. He started 12 games in 1963, too. He was an occasional starter. His first three seasons with the Dodgers, he started 30 games. He relieved 17 more. He had a 4.18 ERA. It was 194 innings. He had 154 strikeouts, but he also walked 91. But before we get into what happened the rest of his career, let's get back to our trivia. Since Pete Rickert's debut, eight Dodgers relievers have struck out at least eight in a game. How many can Jacob name?
So is this including opener shenanigans?
As the page is loading, hold on one second. I asked who did more than seven. So there are no shenanigans here.
Really? That takes out some of my guesses.
I'll just say the latest one was 2008.
Oh, okay. Well, this is going to be difficult then. Crossing off some names real quick. I was kind of going, wrote a few good names down on players that I know had an opener. 2008, Hunchy Kuo?
You nailed the 2008 one. With a 3 2/3 hitless, he gave up a walk. He struck out eight against the Mets. Wait, I got to look this up. Was this the game he homered in? I think it's the game he homered in and did the bat flip. Oh. Hold on.
And this is when
it's not the game he homered in. Dang it.
I think he might have started that game.
That might have been 07 or 06. Anyway, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
But for our younger listeners, this was before bat flips were like really a thing, and it was a beautiful one.
I think he single-handedly brought them back.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Hoyt Wilhelm?
No, he was... I don't know what his high was. He I don't think he was much of a strikeout guy, but also I don't think he necessarily pitched all that long, all that often.
Charlie Huff,
he had two seven strikeout games, but not eight or higher. I will tell you there's eights and nines. Those are the only numbers to go with for
Marshall.
Mike Marshall did not strike out even seven in a game.
Well, those are my strike. I got the one name I came for. So
okay, I'm gonna try to do it this way. I'll give you a year, 2006, and he was left-handed.
Left-handed. 2006. That, because that's before that era. Hold on. Does it involve a bathrobe?
No.
Oh, okay. No, it's not Joe Biden.
He didn't, yeah.
And I didn't, yeah, he was very much the loogie guy. I think I know who it is, and I'm not going to get the name.
Think of
recalled.
Characters from Adam's Family.
What? It? There was a Dodgers pitcher named It?
No, he looked like Lurch. Mark Hendrickson struck out eight.
I was not going to get Mark Henderson, by the way.
22 inning game in Houston in 1989. I think I've probably talked about this game enough to where you should have at least one or two guesses
here. Oral
did it in, he pitched seven innings in that game in relief.
Right.
It was a 22 inning game. He struck out eight. The only other one in the Jacob era, and not the Jacob Life era, but the Jacob era, was a normal starter, but I don't know why he pitched only the second to the fifth inning in this one, but he did. Didn't play out his full contract with the Dodgers.
Nope.
Kevin Brown.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So he's one of the nine strikeout guys. Kevin Gross was also a nine strikeout guy. Jim Brewer, not the comedian. or shows Mark Hendrickson, who said Ken Howell in 1985 struck out 8, and then Larry Sherry in 1962 also struck out 8 in a 14 inning game. He went 7. So yeah, that's a lot. I think, I don't know. What do you, how do you think you did? What a weird
position. I was, like I said, I had Urias, Mitch White. I thought, man, maybe Kenley did it.
So Mitch White had that, I didn't look at it. He had that like 7 1/3 inning game or whatever.
Yeah.
2 years ago, I want to say. Yeah. And that's a good area to guess in. But like, there hasn't been a ton. Like, oh, I guess I have to look. No, Stone didn't strike out a bunch today, but no one's really done that like as a bulk guy yet. Just like rack up the strikeouts or
right,
whatever.
Right.
But yeah. Anyway, back to Rickert. So 64 after the 64 season, he was a part of his first big Dodgers trade. He's a couple of those. We'll get to it. So he was sent to the Senators along with Frank Howard, Ken McMullen, pitcher Phil Ortega, and pinch hitter Dick Nen for Claude Osteen, John Kennedy, not that one, and $100,000. We've had Dodgers rewinds on most of these players. Frank Howard was August 2019, Claude Osteen in August 21, and Ken McMullen bucked the August trend and did we did him in June 2022. So, like McMullen, Rickert made his way back to the Dodgers almost a decade later. But when he was in Washington, his first 2 years, he was in the rotation and like starting for good, made the All-Star team both years. But then during the 1967 season, his third year there, he was traded to the Orioles. Then he switched to relief full time for good in 1968. So he had a 2.83 ERA in 4.5 years in Baltimore. He's part of 3 World Series teams there, 69 to 71. He pitched one game in each of those World Series. He also pitched, I believe, an inning in the ALCS in 69. But in the World Series, 2 total scoreless innings, but that doesn't tell the whole story. In 1969, the Miracle Mets were up 2-1. In Game 4, it was tied 1-1 in the 10th inning. Catcher Jerry Grody doubled off Dick Hall to open the frame. Then Al Weiss was intentionally walked, so they brought in left-hander Rick Rickert with nobody on and 2 out. Nobody out and 2 on to face left-handed batter J.C. Martin, who was pinch hitting for Tom Seaver, who, by the way, pitched 10 innings. And then Martin sacrificed up the first baseline. Rickert fielded the ball. It was like a jumble. I'll link to the YouTube video in the show notes, but Elrod Hendricks, the catcher, it was like up the first baseline. They both sort of converged on it. They didn't bump into each other, but it kind of looked like they almost did. Then Rickert turned and fired to first, but his throw hit Martin and then just sort of kind of got away in the infield. And then pinch hitter Rod Gaspar scored from second base with the walk-off winner. So they put the Mets up 3-1. They won the World Series the next day. Some of the newspaper reports after the game noted that television replay showed Martin was inside the baseline, but it wasn't called. So it's not like necessarily Rickert was the GOAT for that or whatever back when that lost all meaning. So that was like sort of his big moment there. But after 71 with the Orioles, another big trade brought him back to the Dodgers. They got Frank Robinson in this deal for Doyle Alexander and 3 others. Now, we did a Dodgers rewind on Doyle Alexander back in December. He was a fascinating career. He was part of the Dodgers' 1968 draft, which is widely considered like the best ever by any major league team. He pitched 19 years in the majors, but his career is bookended by getting traded for Hall of Famers. Frank Robinson here when I think Alexander was 19 or 20, and then at the end of his career, he went from Atlanta to Detroit for a Double-A pitcher named John Smoltz. So, yeah.
Wow.
And to not to rehash Alexander, but that was as bad as that looks in hindsight. That was as close to a win-win scenario because I believe I want to say Alexander was 11-0. He was crazy down the stretch, and the Tigers I think made the postseason in the final weekend of the year, and he was great. Now, he also got bombed in both of his ALCS starts, and they got eliminated. But it was very close to being, like, the dream scenario. Like, this is exactly what we traded for, a go-to pitcher now. Of course we're giving up long-term stuff. We didn't know it was going to be Hall of Famer long-term, but, like, it was almost like a win-win, but now it obviously not looked that way. But back to this Dodgers trade. Frank Robinson was 36 in 1972. That was his only year in Los Angeles. He had 19 home runs, 127 OPS plus, but he was limited to 103 games. And then the next year, or the next December, he was traded to the Angels. And another huge, they had a lot of huge deals back then. That brought Andy Messersmith, among others, to the Dodgers. And Andy Messersmith was like the key figure in the like bringing in free agency to the sport. So it was a very opportune time in baseball. So Rickert was solid in relief with the Dodgers in 1972 and 73 through his age 33 season. He had a 2.25 ERA in 72, 3.18 in 73. He saved 13 games for the Dodgers in those 2 years. So again, from the 1973 Dodgers media guide, Rickert's specialty was coming in to serve up a fastball to left-handed hitters. So after the Dodgers, Rickert pitched one more year in the majors, both for the Cardinals and the Phillies in 74. So in 13 years, 3.19 ERA, 1,165 and two-thirds innings, 965 strikeouts. He was 80 and 73. He also saved 43 games. So, and that was only after saves became a stat in 69. So this is another note from the 73 media guide. Quote, Pete has been active in anti-drug programs and received a certificate from President Nixon for his work in this area. And then if you go to his Sabre bio, Rickert, Pete started an organization called Athletes for Youth. Rickert and others traveled to speak to young people about the dangers of drugs. They also visited methadone treatment centers and spoke with addicts. So that was his sort of off-the-field stuff there. After his playing days, Rickert was a minor league pitching coach for the A's for about a decade in the 80s and 90s in Modesto and Huntsville. And then he also was a pitching coach for the Giants in Fresno. So that's, you know, another sort of long baseball life, but also not rare, but I always like it when someone has a two-part Dodger career. That's like, yeah. You know, early and late type of
thing.
I am
a little surprised you didn't do a little research into how many of those saves were of the three-plus inning variety.
I want to say I did, because I remember thinking about it, but, like, not to the point where I did look it up. But anyway, that's our look back at Pete Rickert. We are the three-inning save podcast, even though we're not talking about any of Pete Rickert's three-inning saves, because I'm not sure how many he had.
But, at least one.
Yeah. When,
you know, right. I found one. I'm going through the game logs.
And it was, yeah, so, like, it turns out he was a pretty good pitcher. That was it. But we are part of the Fans First Sports Network. I almost conflated our names there. That's great. I am Eric Steven. That's Jacob Birch. Brian Salvatore will edit this to make me sound like a normal person. And we will talk to you again with another episode. And then we'll be back with our regular episode over next week. So thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.